We have been, over the last several weeks, talking about Mythbusters. And these series of lessons that we've been doing comes the idea from the TV show where they take different ideas and different things that people believe and run them through a series of tests to find out, are they true or are they just simply myths? And what we've been doing, we were looking at this idea that there's a whole lot of myths and things that people believe about religion, about the Bible, and so forth. And so what we're doing is recognizing that people, in a lot of ways, they don't really know the truth about some of those things, so they're being very easily deceived and told certain things that simply are not true. And Satan really, really likes that, okay? One of his greatest weapons is people's ignorance of the Bible. When people don't know what the Bible says, then they're very easily tricked and deceived into believing things that just simply aren't true about the Bible and about church and about religion, about God, and so forth. So what we're doing in this, our Bible version of Mythbusters, is we're looking at some of those myths and ideas that people have, again, about the Bible, about religion, about church, to see what does the Bible really say about those things, so that we can get to the truth of the matter, okay? Now, our overall goal and purpose of this is so that the more we know the truth and the more we can teach others in our Judea of what the truth is, and we can address some of those myths that people out there are believing and so forth. So that's really the purpose, the overall purpose of this study, all right? Which, by the way, we will be finishing today. Today is the last lesson in this series that we're doing on this. And here is our myth that we're going to be talking about today. Everyone has to interpret the Bible for himself. Okay? I hear that a lot from people. Okay? People fall back on the interpretation. That's your interpretation idea. Okay? So we need to address this whole issue of Bible interpretation and the whole idea of people saying, well, that's your interpretation, I have mine, and so forth. When people use that, it's oftentimes a defense mechanism, okay? In other words, what's happening oftentimes is they're using it kind of like the pig here in this cartoon, all right? I got swine flu, so you need to stay away, kind of a thing. And that's what people oftentimes do when it comes to the Bible. They don't like what they're seeing. They don't like what they're hearing. And so the defense mechanism of, well, that's your interpretation, is what they use to kind of ward off and kind of push someone back, because they don't want to face the truth about whatever it is being talked about and discussed. The other thing about this, that's your interpretation, is that it implies that everybody is allowed to interpret the Bible the way they like. And that's another part of this myth that we need to look at. So the question is the Bible really, and interpreting the Bible, really left up to each individual to interpret it the way that they see fit? Right? That's what we want to address in this lesson this morning, okay? We run into folks that kind of addressing it from this perspective, okay? Why should my civil rights be dictated by your interpretation of the parts of the Bible that you choose to believe in? Now, I don't know if you recognize, but there's a couple of problems in this statement here. One is on the part of the idea of saying, well, you know, that's your interpretation and so forth. The other part is that we as Christians have to face the reality, and we got to admit that a lot of times we pick and choose which parts of the Bible that we like and which parts we don't, and which parts we want to emphasize and which parts we don't, and all of those kinds of things. So when it comes to Bible interpretation and understanding the Bible, we need to be honest about that, and we need to interpret it not to our own liking, but as it is in the Scriptures, okay? I like this statement. I don't know who Jonathan Parnell is, but I think he's right. It is written, trumps, it means to me, okay? You know, what the Bible means to me is not important. What it says, because that comes from God, is what's important. And that's what we've got to be emphasizing to people. Okay? And too often what happens is people say, well, you know, to me, that passage says this. Okay? But what does it say? You say, hey, we need to be asking that. Not everything in Scripture we need to understand is open to interpretation. Okay? And then we kind of get uncomfortable with things like this. Wait a minute. But not everything is open to interpretation. There are absolute truths in the Scripture, and they're absolute. Now, that's a concept that the secular world does not want to accept. They will say there are no absolute truths. Okay? And then someone once asked somebody like that and said, well, are you absolutely sure about that? And they said, absolutely. Well, there goes your theory, right? You see? Because, yes, indeed, there are absolute truths. And they cannot be changed. We can and we need to apply biblical principles sometimes, you know, to different situations and so forth. But we can't change the principle. The principle applies, you know, as it is. Does that make sense? In other words, we can't just apply it as it best suits us and fits whatever we want. We need to apply it as it is meant to be applied. So in other words, when Jesus gives a principle in a parable, that may apply in several different things, but it's got to apply the way he intended for it to apply, not the way we want it to apply. Okay? And so when the third one on there, when Scripture clearly states a truth, then it is absolute, unchanging, non-negotiable, not open to interpretation. So we need to understand that about Scripture. When we're talking about interpreting Scripture and understanding Scripture, there are things, you know, that it says what it means and it means what it says. So we just need to accept it or reject it. One of those two choices. But not try to change it to suit what we want it to say. Harmon Aquino, I looked him up. I didn't know who he was. I looked him up. He's, you know, an artist and so forth. I like this particular statement from him. The Bible is so simple, you have to have someone else help you to misunderstand it. You know, think about that. I like that. You say, you know, in fact, when you think about it, and here's the thing. The Bible really is less about interpretation than it is about growing in our understanding of it. Okay? And what I mean by that is, and let me use this illustration. If you think about it from a mathematical standpoint, right? You take a small child, you have to teach that small child, first of all, their numbers, right? And you have to teach them the value of those numbers before you can teach them how to add and subtract, right? And then they have to learn how to add and subtract before they can learn how to multiply and divide. And then they have to learn how to multiply and divide before they can learn how to do fractions. You see where this is going, right? You see, each level it's a different step that you have to take, but you have to learn the steps before, or you'll never grasp the steps that come later. You cannot expect to be able to do algebra and geometry if you don't know how to work fractions and multiplication and division. It's going to be confusing as can be. Well, the Bible is very much the same way. There are principles and there are ideas that are basic, and even the apostles refer to them as milk, okay? That we need to learn those basic principles, and then as we continue learning and growing, then more things become evident to us and understandable to us as we learn these things. Then we begin to understand other things that might be otherwise a little bit more difficult. So again, it's a matter of growing in our understanding rather than most of the time trying to interpret what this passage means. Okay, everybody with me on that? So that's why, and we'll talk about here in just a moment, it's so important for us to be studying and searching the Scriptures so that we can grow in our understanding of those Scriptures. And as we continue growing, we learn more things, and they become more and more evident and apparent to us. A whole lot less interpretation required when we do it that way. Now, when it comes to interpreting, one of the reasons why we can't just simply everybody interpret it for themselves is because there are interpretation, there are rules, okay? Those rules are called hermeneutics. In other words, that is basically the study of interpreting the Bible, okay? So in other words, it's not just look at it and say, well, what does it mean to me? There are some guidelines and some rules to help us to make sure that what we're understanding is what's intended to be understood. And by the way, that's true with any kind of a document that you might be reading. Anybody, we got any lawyers in here? Okay. You ever tried to read a legal document? That's why they send people to law school, so they can put stuff in there that the rest of us don't understand, right? And they can say, oh, it means this, right? Well, you know, in other words, basically, you have to learn the language, so to speak. You got to find out what's the intent behind what that statement or those words mean and all of those kind of things in order to interpret that document correctly. And the Bible is no different. Okay, so there are some rules, and then basically four of them real quickly look at. We need to understand, first of all, that Scripture interprets Scripture. Okay? In other words, it's really a matter of looking at the Scripture themselves and being able to see what does the writers, what's their original intent and all of those kinds of things that help us to understand what's the meaning behind this passage. Again, not the interpretation, but what's the meaning here that the writer intends for me to have? What is the context is the second thing that's vitally important in being able to understand the Scriptures. What's the context? In other words, what is the basic idea that the author is talking about in this passage? You see? If we don't understand that, then we're not going to walk away with a proper understanding, chances are, of what that passage is really talking about. All right? And then, also, these hermeneutic laws are for us to be able to correctly interpret the Scriptures. What is the intent? Okay? Intent interprets the Scriptures. Right? And what we've got to do, again, is go back and see what is the author that wrote these particular passages, what are they trying to get us to know and to understand here? All right? And then finally, the clear interprets the obscure. And this basically is the idea that says, look, if I'm understanding a passage in a particular way, and then I go over and I look somewhere else in the Bible and say, well, wait a minute, but there's a contradiction here. This passage says this, and this one says this. They're not saying the same thing. Well, that should tell me that I need to go back and look at my interpretation of that particular text or my understanding of it. Because the Scriptures do not contradict themselves, bottom line. You will not find a contradiction there. If you find a contradiction, it's because your understanding of a particular passage is not what is intended by the authors. So that's a good way to be able to figure out, if I'm finding two things that are contradicting each other, I need to go back and look at my understanding of what this passage is saying, because it doesn't match the rest of the story of the Bible. See? So we need to look at all of the Scripture to see, does my understanding of it match? Rather than just simply approaching it from the standpoint of, well, I don't really like what that says, so that's your interpretation, and which is what a lot of people fall back on. The wise man tells us this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. You see, the problem oftentimes with Bible interpretation or understanding the Bible is that people, too many people, are leaning on their own understanding instead of looking to the Lord for His understanding and His guidance and wisdom in helping us to understand His Word. The wise man also says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Again, oftentimes, we're convinced we're right on this. The Bible says this, and that's how we're going to live our life based on what we are understanding. But a lot of folks don't realize that their understanding is going to lead them to death. It will not lead them to life in the Lord. So again, what do we need to do? We need to be focusing on what does the Lord want me to understand about this, not be focusing on my own. See? There's a circumstance in the Gospel of Matthew that illustrates the importance of us as we're interpreting and trying to understand what the Scriptures teach. There's a couple of principles here that I want you to think about. The leaders, the religious leaders of Jesus' day are at a point where they're constantly in conflict with Jesus. Okay? And on this occasion, in Matthew chapter 22, there's this occasion where they come to Jesus with this hypothetical question, okay? And they're going to, their intent is to try to trap Jesus with their knowledge of the Old Testament Scriptures and the Law of Moses. And so they come to Jesus and they present this hypothetical question to Him. Teacher, Moses says that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, that's true. The law taught that, okay? That if a man is childless when he dies, then he has a brother. His brother is to marry his wife and have a child with him so that his line, his name will continue amongst the people. That was what the law said. So they asked this question. Now, there were seven brothers with us, and the first one married and he died having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. So also the second and the third and all the way down to the seven. All seven brothers died and none of them had a child. And so the question is, at the end, whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? Okay? That's the trick question they brought to Jesus. How did Jesus answer this question? He says, you are mistaken. Some translations say you are in error. Okay? Not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. You see, therein is the problem. They didn't know the Scriptures, not really what they said. They were trying to twist them around to suit their own needs and desires. And they certainly did not know the power of God. And that's how Jesus answered their question. Now, he does go on to say, in the resurrection, there will be neither marrying nor giving in marriage, you see. But he began that answer in this way. Your understanding is wrong because you don't know the Scriptures and you don't know the power of God. And I think that's the same problem that a lot of people have today. They don't know the Scriptures, and they certainly don't know the power of God. And unfortunately, what a lot of folks are doing is assuming that they have the power to understand and interpret the Scriptures the way they want to, rather than relying on the power of God to do so. So Jesus rebuked these teachers of the law. Now keep in mind, these are the leaders, the religious leaders of His day. And that's what He had to say about them. You don't know the Scriptures like you think you do. You don't know the power of God. The second thing we've got to keep in mind here is the importance of handling the Word of God correctly. Okay? The Apostle Paul wrote two letters to the preacher, Timothy, giving him some instructions on how he was to conduct his ministry. But we need to understand that those words are just as applicable to all Christians as they were to Timothy. And especially this part that we're looking at that we had read as we began this morning. Okay, we need to understand, Paul told him, and again, this is applicable to all of us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, how many of us as Christians would say, oh, I don't need to do that? That's why I say it applies to all of us, not just to the preachers. Okay? We all need to be studying so that indeed we can present ourselves to God as one approved. Another translation says, do your best. Okay? Do your best to present yourself as one approved. Now, what does that mean? One approved is the idea of having divine approval rather than seeking man's approval. One approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, but who correctly handles the word. Okay? That's the kind of worker we need to be. But the emphasis here is on doing our best at that. Okay? Another translation says exercise due diligence. The Greek literally says be eager. The point here is, and what Paul wants us to understand is, that what we need to do is have a desire within our hearts, not just kind of be complacent about learning God's Word. We've got to study it. We've got to search it out. And it goes back to what we were saying earlier, see, about that idea of not just accepting whatever comes along, but be searching the Scripture so that we can learn it. And as we learn these things, when we grow and we learn other things, and that's the whole point of studying. So we continue to grow in God's Word. But we've got to be eager to do that. We've got to do our best, not second best, not just enough to get by. So you don't have to raise your hand on this. Let me just ask you, and you think about it. When was the last time you dusted off your Bible and actually opened it up and started reading it and studying it? You see? Or is it there on the shelf or the coffee table or wherever just collecting dust? Okay? Now, another part of this is that statement, correctly handling the Word of God or the Word of truth, implies that it can be handled incorrectly. Okay? So we need to understand that there is a real danger and that oftentimes people are handling the Word incorrectly. You ever heard anybody say, well, the Bible says so-and-so, and they spout off something that's not even in the Bible? You say, and probably, and we've talked about this before, probably one of the most well-worn and overused is, the Bible says, thou shalt not judge, or judge not lest ye be judged. And they take that out of context because, again, they don't like what they're hearing or what have you. It's another defense mechanism, but that's handling the Word incorrectly. See? Does the Bible, by the way, say, judge not lest ye be judged? Yeah, it does. But again, what's the context, okay? We got to go back to the context to see what does it really mean. And most of the time when people are throwing that out, that's not what it's talking about, okay? So it oftentimes is handled incorrectly. And Paul here is admonishing us to make sure we're handling it correctly. And the only way to really do that is to study, or to be diligent, to do our best to study His Word. But again, that happens. It's handled incorrectly when people don't know, really know, what the Bible says about something. And then finally, let's talk about this part of it, refusing to come to Jesus. Well, you say, well, what does that have to do with biblical interpretation? Well, here's another passage, this time in the Gospel of John, that talks about the idea of how are we using the Scriptures, okay? In John chapter 5, there's a situation where the Jews are upset. Again, the Jewish leadership is upset with Jesus because He's healed someone on the Sabbath. and that's against the law. From their perspective, you know, that's a violation. You're not supposed to be doing that. So they're trying to persecute Jesus. Okay? That's what it says here. Then in verse 18, for this reason, as Jesus is refuting with them, for this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. So you see, the setting of this is one of tremendous animosity where they're trying to use the Scriptures to basically support what they want to do, which is get rid of Jesus. And Jesus is using the Scriptures to show that they're wrong. Okay? And they want to kill him. That's how bad this situation is. They want to kill him. Here's what Jesus says to them. You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me. In other words, the Scriptures that they're using are testifying about Jesus, but look at what he says, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. They're missing the point of the Scriptures they're relying on. Why? Because their hatred for Jesus is so intense. They refuse to accept Jesus for who he is, the Messiah. But they're relying on the Scriptures to back up their position on things. Would you agree that that's an incorrect or handling the Word of God incorrectly or not, you see? What is our motivation, in other words, in using the Scriptures? They weren't recognizing. They were so blinded by what they believed the Scriptures to be teaching that they couldn't see the truth in who Jesus was. And so they refused to come to him to have life. He goes on to challenge them. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? That's where that whole issue of the approval of men comes in. You see? What are you seeking? Approval of men or the approval of God? Remember, Paul told Timothy to do what? To study or be diligent, to study to show thyself, what? A workman approved of God. You see? But they're more focused on approval of men than they are on approval from God. Here's really what it's all about. Their situation. You can know all the Scriptures that you want to know. You can quote them backwards and frontwards and in between and every way else there is to quote them. But without Jesus, you don't have life. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell them. They felt like they knew the Scriptures so enough that they were wanting to kill Jesus because they didn't like what he was saying. But they have no life because the Scriptures they were relying on pointed to Jesus, but they couldn't see that because of their own interpretation of those Scriptures. Too many people are interpreting the Scriptures for themselves. In other words, the way they want them to come out. Okay? And they're just not focused on Jesus and looking for his approval. See, when I'm looking for the Scriptures to tell me what I want to hear, then I'm not focused on Jesus. When I'm looking for the Scriptures to tell me that I can do what it is I want to do, then I'm not focused on Jesus. Okay? What we need to do is to be focusing on Jesus first, and then allow his Spirit to guide us in our understanding of what his Word is telling us. Then we'll come to a proper understanding of the Bible. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Interpreting the Scriptures, first of all, without due diligence and study, will result in misinterpretation. That's why Paul tells us, make every effort or be diligent. Do your best to study. Okay? Secondly, interpreting the Scriptures based on your own desires will not get approval from God. Cannot be based on what we want. It's got to be on what does God want for our lives. Knowing the Scriptures without knowing Jesus will not lead to life, it'll lead to death. And then finally, interpretation of the Scripture cannot be based on our own wants, but must be based on God's will. So, we come back to that myth. Everyone has to interpret the Bible for himself. When it comes to biblical interpretation, that is understanding the Bible, we look at not only what does the Bible itself say about it, but we look at what are the rules, hermeneutics of biblical interpretation, so that we make sure we have a proper understanding of the Scriptures. I suggest to you that that myth is busted. It's not up to everybody to interpret the Bible for themselves the way they want to. It's up to us to seek to understand the Bible the way God wants us to understand it. And then, and only then, will we be drawn to His Son, Jesus. I hope that in this series of lessons that we've been doing, we've been studying all these different topics, that they've, if not done anything else, have challenged you to look at these myths and really question and say, okay, but wait a minute, what does the Bible really say? And then to take that principle to a lot of others, because there's a lot of other myths that are out there about the Bible and religion, that I hope that you'll take that principle and go and look at some of those and do the same thing so that you can see, are those things myths or are they really true? So I hope that I've been able to at least show how to do that and as we're addressing some of these myths that we've been talking about. We saw in this lesson, this last one, that one of the problems that people oftentimes have is that they know the Scriptures, but they don't know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, then knowing the Scriptures isn't going to do you any good. What we want to do is to help people to know both. To study the Scriptures so they can get to know Jesus. So that ultimately you can have life in His name. That's really what it's all about. So we offer a time and the opportunity for anyone that may not yet be a Christian. If there's anyone here this morning that's not given your life to Christ, and maybe you know some Scriptures, maybe you know a little bit about the Bible, but you don't know Jesus yet, not in a relationship with Him, then we offer the opportunity for you to come to know Him personally in a relationship with Him. Maybe you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And maybe you know enough to tell you that Jesus wants to be Lord of your life. Do you have to know all the Bible in order to become a Christian? No. You just need to know that you're a sinner. Your sins are separating you from God. But you also need to know that God loves you and He wants you to belong to Him. He wants to be in a relationship with you. And you can accomplish that right now, this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then confess and repent of your sins that are separating you from Him. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. We got water ready, Chuck? Water's ready. All you got to do is let us know. And we'll bring you into a relationship with Christ right now, this morning. Now, there's a room full of people that are already Christians. But maybe there's some things going on in your life that you know shouldn't be going on. Maybe there's some things you need help with or guidance or whatever the case may be. We're a family here. So we try to encourage and help one another as family to overcome the obstacles in our lives and the struggles that we have so that we can be more like Jesus. That is our goal. So if we can do that for anyone here, we want to do that. All you got to do is let us know. Jerry will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there, and I'll be right up front to receive anyone that would like to come up here. Chuck has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation, so let's stand together and sing. Chuck?